Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to have you here today as we return our worship to the sanctuary. And it's Palm Sunday as a celebration day. And it's good to have you here as we gather for worship. I'd like to invite all of you to stay for a few moments after the service for a time of refreshment and fellowship in our Judson Chapel, which is directly behind the sanctuary. And you'll note on the back page of the bulletin the calendar for this week. I'm not going to read it to you, but do just want to point out there are several special events taking place in this Holy Week, and just want to make you aware of that. I also do want to point out that there will be classes beginning after Easter for anyone interested in baptism and or church membership, and we're asking that you speak with me by next week if you are interested in participating in those. Also, there is an insert in your bulletin if you would like to order flowers for Easter. Today is the deadline for ordering that. Our Boy Scout troop will be providing the flowers again this year. It's a fundraiser for them. And we do have to have these by today if you'd like to order flowers for Easter. I invite you to turn now in the bulletin for our responsive call to worship. We'll be reading verses from Psalm 24 as we prepare our hearts and our minds for worship. Let us read responsively. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Who is this King of glory?
The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle.
Lift up your heads, O you gates.
Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in.
Who is he, this King of glory?
The Lord Almighty, he is the King of glory.
Our opening hymn this morning is printed on the insert in the bulletin. Lift up your heads, O mighty gates. We'll be singing verses 1, 2, and 3. Those who are able are invited to stand as we sing together. Let us pray. Almighty God, we give thanks for Jesus who rode in triumph into Jerusalem. We praise you that he came as the conqueror, not of force and military might, but of love and peace. In the spirit of those who sang Hosanna to the Son of David so long ago, we join that great chorus of those who confess Jesus Christ as Lord to the glory of your name. We now join in praying the prayer he taught his disciples as we say aloud together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Glory to the Father.
You may be seated. This time we have an opportunity to share celebrations and concerns with one another as we go to prayer. Celebration is that Chuck and Cindy Huddy have arrived home from Hawaii, and it's good to have you back with us. And I expect the Foxons will be back, if not next Sunday, then perhaps the next week. And I expect the Williamses will be back soon also. So we want to keep all those folks that have been away or are still away in our prayers. We want to keep those who are not feeling real well today as well. We want to continue to remember May Upperman, and May continues to be at home, getting out some, but anything she does during the week is quite tiring, it's quite taxing, but she is feeling a little bit better, she said, and we'll be having some medical tests this month, so we want to keep May in prayer. We also want to continue to keep Paul Patry in prayer as well. Do you have any requests for prayer today, either celebrations or concerns? Yes, Richard. Okay. So Sugantha and Chandru are both not feeling well, so we want to keep them in prayer. That impacts the choir today and tonight, and so we want to keep them in prayer. Anyone else have a prayer request? We do want to remember, just a second, Peggy. I didn't get it written down, but the bombings that took place in Egypt this morning in churches, we want to keep our Christian sisters and brothers in that area in our prayers today as well. Peggy. Okay. For your grandson, Chris, and also I know for your sister who's not well at all, too. So I'll keep those in prayer. Anyone else have a prayer request? If not, then let's go to God, lifting up some of these requests or something that's on your heart. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, on this Palm Sunday, we remember your ride into Jerusalem. We recognize that you rule in majesty, yet serve in humility. And we do not necessarily always understand the connection. In Jerusalem, people hailed you for your deeds of power, but abandoned you when you would not strike down those who struck you. Now we see your humble weakness has proven more powerful than the deadly force of your enemies. Show us what this means for our lives in the confrontations we face in the marketplace, on the playground, in our homes, our schools, and our offices. Create in us the desire to serve rather than to control. Give us the patience and serenity to overcome evil with good, rather than conforming ourselves to the evil methods of those whose purposes we claim to despise. Help us honor you the way you have honored us, by dedicating our lives to the care and redemption of all that you have made and known and loved. We ask this in your powerful, precious name. Amen. On that Palm Sunday, the crowds were shouting Hosanna and offering their coats as a carpet for the donkey. That was the only thing they had to offer Jesus that day, but they were offering their praises and the shirt off their back. We have an opportunity to offer to Jesus our gratitude for him as well this morning by presenting our tithes and our offerings as the ushers receive the morning offering.
Hosanna, Christ, Hosanna, Christ.
Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, as you ride on in majesty, we pray that we may follow you, not because of your majestic part, but because of your humble service. We pray, Lord, that you would bless these gifts and bless us as we share the good news of your majestic love. We ask this in your name. Amen. You may be seated, and Lana Berry Cooper is our lay reader today and be reading the scripture.
Good morning. This morning's scripture is taken from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 12, verse 12 through 16. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. He took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter Zion. See your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that these things had been done to him. Praise God.
Thank you, Lana. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we have read and heard from your holy word, John's account of this special day, this Palm Sunday. Such excitement and questions filled the air in Jerusalem. And Lord, we come today, and some of us may have questions and not fully understand what Palm Sunday means or what who Jesus is, in fact. Lord, we come today and just pray that our time together and the words that we hear and the words that we share may be edifying for us, that may be inspiring for us, that we may leave here as different people for having been here today and worshiping together. Lord, prepare us now to receive your word, and prepare us now for the coming days of this holy week. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. What did Jesus look like? A laughing, short-bearded Jesus with dirty blonde hair and blue eyes? What about an African Jesus? Or a clean-shaven Jesus with arms outstretched at the Last Supper? Or perhaps an Asian Jesus with his Asian mother at his side? I want you to take for a moment and picture the face of Jesus in your imagination. What do you see? Does he have a crooked nose or a hooked nose? Is his hair the color of walnut wood, parted in the middle, hanging straight to the ears, and maybe turning to waves down to his shoulders? Does he have a dark beard, dark eyes, tanned olive skin, high cheekbones, a narrow, handsome face filled with passion and kindness? And in his dark eyes, is there fire and compassion? Is this how you picture him, or is your picture different? However we see him, is that his true likeness? We all probably envision Jesus a little the same and yet a little differently, based on our exposure to renditions offered by artists over the generations. In early Christianity, before the populace was literate, artwork was used to tell the stories of Jesus. Etchings, paintings, sculpture, stained glass windows, all conveyed the lessons of Scripture without any words or reading required. The Orthodox Church relies on many icons or images of Christ to remind people of Christ's love and sacrifice. Many centuries ago, an icon of Jesus was painted. It's called the Mandylion icon, from the Greek word meaning the towel. Orthodox Christian tradition claims this icon as the first painting of Jesus. It's believed to be an accurate representation of his true likeness. In the writings of the Antonicene Fathers, which is a 10-volume collection of writings by the theologians and leaders who lived during the first 3 centuries of the Christian Church, there's a story in that collection of how the Mandylion icon came to be. I'm going to share that story this morning. The fame of Jesus, the wonder worker and healer, had spread far beyond the lands of Judea, where he taught and worked and walked. Across the Euphrates River, in the city of Edessa, believed to be the modern southeastern Anatolian city of Sanlıurfa in Turkey, lived a governor named Abgarus, who suffered from an incurable disease that neither herbs nor doctors in his land could heal. Hearing of Jesus' miracles, Abgarus wrote him a letter that's recorded by the church historian Eusebius, and here are his words. To Jesus called Christ, Abgarus, the governor of the country of the Edessenes, an unworthy slave. The multitude of the wonders done by you has been heard of by me, that you heal the blind, the lame, and the paralytic, and cure all the demoniacs. And on this account, I entreat your goodness to come even to us and escape from the plottings of the wicked authorities who hate you. My city is small, but large enough for both of us. Abgarus, convinced Ananias to deliver the letter, instructed him that while in Judea, to take an accurate account of Jesus, his appearance, his stature, his hair, and his words. Ananias delivered the letter to Jesus and then stared at him, trying to fix in his mind the face of Christ. Try though he did, Ananias could not memorize the countenance of Jesus. Jesus, knowing Ananias' heart, asked a disciple for a wash towel, and a wet cloth was handed to him, and he wiped his face on the towel and then gave it to Ananias. And on the towel was the very image of the face of Christ. It was a miracle. "Take this towel to Abgarus," said Jesus, "and tell him I cannot come, for I must fulfill my destiny here. But later I will send my disciple Thaddeus to heal him." Ananias fell to the ground and worshipped Jesus, then returned to Abgarus and Edessa, who was healed by means of the miraculous towel long before Thaddeus arrived. Now, Orthodox tradition claims that it was from this towel of Edessa that the first ancient icon of Jesus, the medallion icon, was later painted, which became a prototype for the faces of Jesus down through the centuries. Since the time when Ananias delivered the towel of Edessa, thousands of icons, Western-style paintings and sculptures have been created with Jesus as the subject. From the symbolic images of the early Christian catacombs to modern interpretations, iconic as well as narrative images have served as objects of education, edification, devotion, and aesthetic appreciation. Jesus is recognizable by virtue of his recurring facial features. Differences and variables, obvious over time and style changes, only contribute to emphasizing that there's a certain family air to all of those artistic depictions of him. Scripture teaches that we are made in God's image. But often enough, we remake Jesus as a reflection of our own image, projecting ourselves onto him. It isn't just his features we reimagine. At times, we reimagine and misunderstand his character also. But we aren't the only ones to do this. His true likeness, his character, has always been difficult to capture, even for those who knew him personally. When Jesus was with his friends, teaching, laughing, drinking wine and eating bread, visible and touchable and knowable, even then, Jesus was rarely seen or understood for who he was. On the day of the big festival, when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey, everyone present seemed to misunderstand who he was and where he was headed. Thus began a week in the world, the world finally gaining a true likeness of him, finally understanding him to a certain degree, decided that they did not like what they saw, preferring to put him away permanently. The adoring crowd expected a conquering king who could restore Israel's ancient greatness, throwing off the weight of Roman servitude. What they got was a humble servant savior. The religious authorities thought he was a dangerous, riotous rebel who'd lead the people astray. Little did they know that by killing him, he would become far more powerful, leading generations to God. So what is the character and true likeness of Jesus. We've talked about some facial features, but what's the true character and his true likeness? Throughout the week to come, this Holy Week, as we read the accounts of the final days of Jesus' life, as recorded in the Gospels, we will see Jesus righteously indignant at the materialism of the temple. We'll witness him overturn tables while simultaneously turning the table-owning merchants against him. We'll watch Jesus challenge his disciples while he faces their betrayal. We'll see him prayerful in the garden, desiring not to fulfill his destiny, but knowing he must. And finally, we'll see him demonstrating sacrificial love on Friday. This and more is the true likeness of Jesus. The danger is that, like the disciples, like the crowds of Jerusalem, like the religious leaders of that day, we might become among them who did not understand these things, who did not see clearly at first, as the text from John said today, verse 16. They did not understand. So we need to spend a couple moments on thinking about what didn't they understand. They did not understand humble service. Jesus whipped out his towel and washed the feet of the disciples. It blew them away. The disciples had continually bickered about their pride and place in the kingdom. Even at the Last Supper, only days after his entry into Jerusalem, the disciples of Jesus were still arguing about who among them was the greatest. It seems almost unreal. They have just eaten the bread and shared the cup, and yet a fight breaks out, according to Luke. They did not get it. They did not understand who Jesus was. They also did not understand sacrificial love. Jesus told them, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep." At this, those in his hearing thought he was stark, raving mad. He would later say to his disciples, "Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends." Not only did they not understand humble service or sacrificial love, they did not understand Jesus' redemptive mission. He had come, he reminded his followers, not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. There's a few more things, briefly, that they did not understand. They did not understand Jesus' welcoming compassion. While his heart broke for the multitudes, his disciples tried to send them away. "Go into town and get some food. We're too busy." They did not understand intercessory prayer, for they had to ask Jesus how to pray. They saw others praying, but they did not know how. They also did not understand the cost of discipleship. Jesus had to teach them the meaning of self-denial. On Palm Sunday, they did not understand him. They did not get it in the following days either. On Maundy Thursday, they understood him even less. And on Good Friday, they gave up, going home to return to their previous occupations. They had yet to perceive the true likeness of Jesus. They had seen the towel in action, but unlike its effect on Abgarus, they had not seen a likeness of Jesus. After all, it had only been a towel. Today is Palm Sunday. We wave our palm branches. We look forward to this day. We get a palm. I'm sure I've already folded yours, woven yours into crosses. It's a highlight day. And we shout Hosanna, meaning save us now. And as we travel with Jesus this week to the temple, the upper room, the garden, the court, and ultimately the cross, will we see and understand the real Jesus, even from our 21st century eyes? Will we say, my Jesus, I love thee? Or will we be like members of the crowd and shout, crucify him? He is not what we expected. His image does not match our expectation. How do you envision Jesus? Let's pray together. Lord, we come with preconceived notions today. For many of us, the story of Palm Sunday is very familiar. We like to wave the palm branches and shout with the crowd, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We like to praise you as mighty King, with all our hopes pinned on you. But Lord, this is a roller coaster week of emotions if we follow you through the scriptures. Lord, we pray that we may be faithful in following you this week, that we may set aside our preconceptions, that we may have open hearts and open minds to read the scriptures, to follow you, to see who you really are. So that when Easter morning comes, Christ, that we may have a different image of you, a new image, an image which we may pattern our lives after. But there's a lot of work to do before next Sunday. And Lord, we just pray that you will be with us and that we may be faithful in our journey to travel with you this week. We ask this all in Christ's name. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is Hosanna, Loud Hosanna, number 217. As Jesus came into Jerusalem that day long ago, riding on a donkey, the people whispered, "What is his name? Who is he?" The crowd shouted back, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." But who is he? His disciples praised God joyfully for all his mighty deeds and power. They shouted, "Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven." But do we know him by his name? Hosanna to the Son of David. Jesus is his name. All glory, laud, and honor to thee, Redeemer King, to whom the lips of children made sweet hosannas ring. Thou art the King of Israel, thou David's royal son, who in the Lord's name comest, the King and Blessed One. Amen.